thoughts there. So, first of all, what is encouragement not? What are some things it's not? It's not sarcasm. That definitely would not be encouraging. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's not flattery. Somebody look up Proverbs 28:23. Okay. So a guy who rebukes someone gains more favor than somebody who just flatters. Okay, what is flattery? Yeah, it's very empty. It's very shallow. Okay? So if you rebuke somebody, but it's out of love and it's deep, and that's going to be a lot more encouraging than just like a just shallow kind of, hey, your eyes look great today, or something like that. You know? Okay. What else? What is it not? Okay. Yeah, that's huge. And that's just out of selfishness. Yeah, false encouragement. That you just want stuff back from. One thing, we call that flirting sometimes, right? Look at Proverbs 7:21. Talking about the adulteress. She seduced him with her smooth talk. Guys, girls, I think a lot of times we fall in this trap where we think, man, I'm going to encourage my sister in Christ by telling how beautiful her hair looks today. Okay? That's not encouragement. One thing Max said, I think, to the girls last night is we don't encourage people on what they were born with. Okay? But we encourage people on what they're doing. And I saw you serve yesterday, and here's how it encouraged me. It really pushed me, motivated me to serve others. And thank you for doing this. Thank you for doing that. That's encouraging. Just saying, man, your left eye looks really great today. You know, they're born with that. You know, they can't help that. And I mean, one thing. Think about this: if you say you have a beautiful face, and then something happens in their life. And that's all they've been encouraged with for their whole life, is their faith. And then something happens to it. Man, their self-worth goes through the floor. Because that's all they've known. But so encourage people for what they're doing, their virtues. Okay, what is encouragement? We're out of handouts. So look on with your brother there. Have him build you up. Okay, what is encouragement? Sincere words. Okay, words that are deep. What else? Serving others. Yeah, that could be so encouraging. You don't even have to use words. That's the cool thing there. What else? Listening. And that's great. To listen to somebody, what's something you have to have? Yeah, you have to have a desire to hear. It's a humble thing to really listen to somebody. I think a lot of times, if you meet somebody that just talks and talks and talks and talks, and it's all about themselves, and one thing, and if that's you, you might think, man, am I so prideful that I want people to know about me, but I don't even care to hear about my brother? Okay, what else? You want to spur them on. Yeah. So you encourage somebody. And that's the cool thing about encouragement. When you encourage somebody in something, are they going to think, man, I've arrived. I'm going to stop doing that. they're going to think, man, I've been encouraging this. I'm going to keep doing it. And they're going to keep going. Here's one I've got. Ephesians 4:29. Somebody know that? So how are we supposed to build others up? In what way? Whatever we think's best, or what? Whatever fits the occasion. It says according to their needs. Guys, if you're not listening to them, how are you going to know what their needs are? Okay. One thing about encouragement, it meets the needs of the person. Okay. It's not just flattery. It's not shallow, but it's deep. In order to do this, here's another thing. It involves giving yourself to somebody. There's got to be a relationship there where you know the person. You can get encouraged by a stranger, but I think of all the times that I've been encouraged by brothers that really know me and can really say, hey, I saw this in your life and it meant a lot to me. Man, those things stick with me. Okay. And it's simply building others up. And guys, I really think this can mean rebuke as well. Remember Proverbs 28:23. Rebuke is huge, but here's the deal. Man, it's got to come out of love. There's a guy that I was going to rebuke, and so I talked to a guy that was kind of discipling me, and he said, and don't do it until you pray, bathed it in prayer for days. Okay? So let me tell you about Marshall. When I was I got to be a leader at a little discipleship training program, somewhat like Project Phoenix. If you're not sure what you're going to do this summer, I'd encourage you to think about Project Phoenix. But a place like that, here's what happened. He saw my life more than anybody else had. And he came to me after he knew me for about 2 or 3 weeks, after we hung out together, after we had great fellowship, after he poured into me. And Marshall said, hey, Brian, I just wanted to tell you. And he told me that I can be very blunt around people. And Jennifer probably knows that. And he said that there's times that it seems like I don't even care about a person, just in the way I respond, the way I act. And my first instinct was to think, man, he's crazy. But then I thought more about it, and he was so right. And that broke me. But I tell you what, if Marshall calls, I'm going to pick up the phone, and I'm going to say, what do you want? What do you need? Because he's got my heart now. Because he saw me. He saw deep into me. And he saw, hey, the need in Brian's life. He needs to know this. Okay? But it's got to be somebody that you've got to have their heart. Okay? If you just try to rebuke from the hip, if it's somebody you don't know, you don't have their heart, it'll probably backfire on you. But it can be one of the most meaningful things. It's meant so much to me just to know that he cared enough to share that with me. A friend of mine, John Crawford, he's in seminary right now, Midwestern. I would say he's one of the guys that I look to, and I say his life is marked by encouragement. If anybody knows him, they'd say he's an encouraging, very encouraging person. And here's the extent of, you know, how I kind of group encouragement with him. He was getting up. They introduced him. He's going to speak. And he's going to speak on the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so I start, you know how you write your little John Crawford in the, I do the right, upper right-hand column and put the date up there. Put the title in the middle. Make it look nice. And so he gets up. I knew he was speaking on the Holy Spirit. But for some reason, my hand wrote this, encouragement. Okay? Because that's what I saw with him. That marked his life. And then I had to scratch that out because it was a pen and then put Holy Spirit. But, man, that's what I saw in this guy's life. So much that I just thought, if this guy's talking about something, it's going to be on encouragement. Okay, so I went to him and I asked him, and how do you encourage people? You know, what's the key there? And so he gave me a big assignment. So that was fun. But he told me to, he gave me an assignment to do a word study on edify. Okay, and here's what I found. Edify, the archaic Meaning is to build, okay? It's to instruct or improve spiritually in the dictionary, or to erect a house, okay? Either or. The original word is made up of two words, okay? One is oikos, it's a dwelling, a family, a home, a house, or a temple, okay? It's basically a building. The other is doma, like a dome, a roof. So, in the word we use for edify, it's all about a building, okay? That's kind of weird. Actually, in the Gospels, the word's only used to signify buildings. And then we see in Paul's letters, we start to see him using it to talk about edifying your brother. And so the idea there is that you're building, putting bricks on somebody's life. You're promoting the spiritual growth and development of character of believers by teaching or by example, suggesting such spiritual progress as the result of patient labor. If you build a house, it's not going to be easy, is it? Who's built a house in here? Okay. How hard is it? I mean, you've got so many things to think about. You've got the structure, the inside, the outside. Then you put the roof on. It's hard labor. And so to really build into somebody's life, it's not easy. It's hard. One thing, too. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Paul says, encourage one another and build up just as you're doing. Okay? It's not something we stop on. It's something that we continue to do just as you're doing. If you want some good examples of encouragement, read Paul's letters, because that's what those are. Those are little encouragement notes to churches everywhere. And one thing, in Ephesians, he was in Ephesus, and here's the extent that Paul was bonding with these people. It says in Acts 21:1, I think, that as they were leaving, they had to tear themselves away, basically, from the people they were with. And so their hearts were kindled with these people. It was a deep relationship. So these letters, when they wrote them, when Paul rebuked the Corinthian church, and it was out of love. Okay. One thing about building others up, though, he says to continue to do it just as you're doing. In Acts 17:26, Paul's kind of explaining, I think it's Paul, he says that God has determined the exact places that people should live, that nations should live. And I kind of think of that in terms of this. God has determined the people you're going to bump into every day. Okay, I don't think we serve a God of accidents. Did you agree with that? He's like, whoa, I didn't expect that to happen. I think we serve a God that, for some reason, this waitress is serving me today. And I have an opportunity to either encourage her, build her up, or I can rip her and tear her down. Okay, so start seeing as every encounter with somebody as divine, as from God. And so every time you meet somebody, and it's not an accident, it's not happenstance, but it's God bringing that person into your life so you can encourage them, so you can spur them on. So see that as divine. Why encourage others? We'll move on. Why encourage others? Why do you think we should encourage others? Yeah, we're on the same team. We want to build each other up. How about this, though? We're commanded to. Does that work? What is it? Ephesians 4:29, what does that say? Now, what's the option in that verse? There's not an option, okay? There's no option. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up. Who knows Hebrews 10, 24 and 25? let us encourage one another daily, okay? There's no option there. Let us do it. Why not? Let's just do that. So it's commanded. Here's another reason why. Look at 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. Okay, so why does God comfort us? Why does God put people in our life to encourage us so that it can die with us? So that encouragement, so that comfort can die in our soul and just sit there for the rest of our lives? So that we can pass that on. So because of the comfort we've received from Him, because of the encouragement we've received, we can pass that on through ministry. 1 John 4:19, we love because He first loved us. Okay. Look at Proverbs 12:18. Show just the power of your words right here. Okay, somebody got that? So how powerful are your words? How powerful is a sword? Pierced like a sword. And it has the power to kill. It's destructive. Okay? Reckless words have the power of a sword. The words have the power to make a person into something or make him feel like nothing. Okay, got a story for that.
This book is called Silver Boxes, The Gift of Encouragement. It's a really great book just with examples of just different stories of encouragement or discouragement. And this story is talking about the power of words. It says, her fifth grade music teacher told Lori she didn't like her laugh. Lori looks back today at the power those words had on a little 11-year-old girl. She remembers, I didn't laugh that loud again until I was 15 years old. I mean, it's just, especially children, are so powerful, just things that, you know, that can just affect them and just stick with them. It's just amazing, so.
Okay. Here's another reason. Okay, work with me on this one. I would not recommend ever watching this at all, ever. But when I was in the athletic dorms, every lunchtime, there was a TV, and it was always tuned the Jerry Springer Show. Okay? Who's ever, you don't have to say I've watched it, but who's familiar with the show? Okay? What you got on there are families and families and families. And for some reason, these families have been broken apart. For gruesome, just terrible things, terrible reasons. These relationships have been broken. Okay? You see them yelling at each other, you see them fighting. And Steve has to hold them back, okay? It's a terrible thing. But who flips that on? You know, the guys in the athletic dorm, they were eating lunch. They would always just laugh at those people. And they would point at those people and laugh. Now, who turns that on and watches this family and just these terrible... And any talk show will have stuff like this. But who sees those families that are being ripped apart and thinks, oh man, that'd be so fun to be a member of that family. Man, I wish I could just join into that family. I wish maybe I can marry into it or something. And maybe they can accept me and maybe I can yell at them and they can yell at me. Maybe I can fight with that guy and he can bruise me. Who in their right mind thinks that way? Not many people. Because we see broken families and we don't want to be a part of that, okay? John 13, 34 and 35. Does anybody know that? Anybody want to say it? "By this all men will know you're my disciples, if you have love for one another." And so the idea there is, man, if you've got a group of believers here, and all they're doing is cutting people, okay, all they're doing is just using sarcastic remarks and making fun of their brothers and sisters, these non-Christians that are watching that, will they ever think, you know, I want to join that family, okay? And maybe I can marry into it or something. Will they ever think that? They're going to think, you know, man, I get more encouragement from my non-believer friends than that. I'm just going to stay over here. I have no need for that. But when they see a group of believers that are encouraging each other, that are spurring each other on towards love and good deeds, they're going to say, man, I need that in my life. I don't get that. And so they're going to want to join that group. So just for evangelism, let's encourage people. Here's another reason. People will treasure your words for a lifetime. Okay? Here's my box de la encouragement right here. That's Spanish for box of the encouragement. At any point in my life, if I'm feeling down, if a guy's just tubed out on me, at any point, I can open this up and be encouraged. Alright? I can look at this and see the people who've meant most in my life. I can look at this and I've got a whole file from a guy named Jacob, okay, who's encouraged me time and time and time again. Here's one from my mom. And don't even ask me how many little notes I've thrown away from my mom. But, I mean, there's so many that I have here. And they're all just encouragement. She ends with a verse from the Bible. She tells me how she's praying for me. And at any time I can look at those and just see how people have cared for me. Here's some just from random people that have meant so much to me. Here's one from Rocky, who really poured into my life. One thing he did, he wrote just a prayer out on a card and he sent it to me. He said, "Father, I praise you for Brian. Awesome how you randomly place this in each other's lives." He goes on another one. He says, "I've been praying God continues to use this summer and the position he's put you in to draw you closer to the cross." Guys like Rusty, he wrote, "I hope to see you in December and you're constantly in my prayers." And here's a great one. If I'm working with a guy discipling somebody and he tubes out totally, and I can always come back to this. It says, "Thanks for challenging me. When you showed me the vision and said you thought I would be a faithful disciple, it really freaked me out. It scared me what it takes to be a disciple. It seemed impossible and uncomfortable at the time. But you pushed me. As I look back, I was growing so much when I didn't even know it. Thanks for believing in me and working with me. Keep passing on all that wisdom." That's from Landon. So at any point in my life, and I can look at some of these things that the guys have encouraged me with, I can open that up, and I guarantee you I'll have the box of daily encouragement for the rest of my life. Okay? So we think it's good. Okay, box of the encouragement for the... If you don't habla español. We think it's good. I think we'd all agree, man, we need to encourage people. Okay, we need to be active in this. But I think we'd also agree a lot of us are not that great about it. Probably why a lot of you came to the workshop and thought, man, I could use some help there. So here's some reasons I think we don't encourage people. And maybe knowing this is half the battle. Yeah, okay. Somebody look at Philippians 2:3. Or if you know it, just say it. Do nothing. Okay, thanks. I think we're selfish, okay? It says do nothing out of selfish ambition. Somebody mentioned that. We do things out of selfish ambition. It takes a lot to humble ourselves and to say, okay, this guy needs some encouragement. Maybe you think, hey, I need encouragement, so I'm going to sit back and wait until somebody encourages me. That's just selfish, okay? when you think, man, I'm having a bad day, so I'm just going to put on my bad day face, and the rest of the day I'm going to hope that people say, hey, are you okay, buddy? Man, try to encourage others. Maybe that'll get you out of your bad day. Okay, let's not be selfish. Look at Romans 14:19. If anybody has that, just say it. Okay. Anybody have an NIV? Or was that NIV? Okay, NAS. Okay, let us pursue. Let us make every effort. Okay? We're pursuing edification. We're making every effort to build others up. Okay, does that sound easy? Does that sound like it's just going to come to us? Probably not. Another reason? Laziness. Okay? We're just lazy. We don't want to pursue these things that build up. We don't want to make every effort. Okay? We're just lazy. Flat out lazy. It takes work. Okay? Like we said, if you're building a house, it takes work. Okay? If you're building others up, it's going to take work for you to sit down at night, to get out your stationery that every guy has. With butterflies, to write, here's how you've encouraged me. That's going to take time out of our schedule, out of our day. And so I think a lot of times we're just lazy. Another reason is pride. Okay? And here's why. Because we've got to humble ourselves and say, here's what I see in your life that's not in mine. Here's how you've encouraged me to live that I'm not living right now. Okay, that's encouragement. To say, here's what you're doing that I'm not. But a lot of times we're too prideful to do that. We don't want people to know that they've helped us in this area because we want people to think that, hey man, I'm already set. Okay, I've got all these ducks lined up. I'm fine with the Christian life. So we're prideful, so that stops us from really encouraging others. And a lot of things, pride will blind you too. Does that make sense? If you're just prideful, you're not going to see other people's lives. You're not going to care. All you're going to see is what your life and what you're doing. So pride will stop us. Another reason is you've never experienced it. Okay? Question. Oh, yeah. And that's with laziness. That's why a lot of us don't. We're lazy and we don't want to get into that habit. But once we start doing it, I think you'll see, man, it's a lot of fun. The next one, never experienced it. And what I mean by this is that you've never allowed people to encourage you. Okay? You might be the kind of person that when somebody says, man, thanks for doing that, your first reaction is to argue with them. Okay? Oh, wasn't that great? It was terrible. You know, and so what you've just done is robbed them from being a blessing to you. Okay? Let people be a blessing in your life. Don't immediately argue with somebody when they say your hair looks nice today. Just take a compliment. Okay? Don't say, oh, it's greasy. You know? Just say, thanks. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Let people be a blessing to you. And what this will do, and when you really receive encouragement, when you say thanks, that means a lot to me. Well, you think, man, I hope more people encourage me. I mean, you'll think that, and you'll let that more, but you'll also think, man, I could encourage that guy back. And so all of a sudden, it's like an encouragement fight, okay? I think those would be cool to get into, okay? And then another thing, there's a fear of rejection. And I think the bottom line on this one is you're expecting something back, and you shouldn't be. If you have a fear of encouraging somebody and for them to throw something back in your face, if you're afraid of that, that's because you're thinking, man, I hope that they encourage me back. That's not what we're doing. We don't want to get in encouragement fights. Maybe we shouldn't plan on it. But we should think, man, I'm going to encourage this guy, and hopefully he'll be built up. And it's selfish to think that I'm going to get anything back for that. And actually, that's a reward if we do. So there's a fear of rejection. Transition.
Okay, before we move on to the next point, I just want to talk about that some more. Like maybe you're this person, or maybe you know people like this that just automatically reject any encouragement or compliment. And there's two main reasons why people do that. The first one I think is the most common, is just that a lot of people have been programmed from childhood just to feel worthless in some area or another. Maybe they were told they were ugly or stupid, or just little offhand comments like that that cause them, and they really believe that they're ugly. And if you tell them otherwise, they just don't believe you. Like, they're going to totally reject that. Just whatever it is. And so, I think of that in my life. I have an identical twin sister, and in fourth grade, our Sunday school teacher, he is probably in his, 40s or 50s, but he was a really nice man, but he would always tease us, and he would say I was the smart one and she was the pretty one. And so, I still think that she's prettier than me. And I know it's ridiculous because we look just alike, but it's still there. And so, and things much worse than that. People who've been abused, or verbally or physically, just feel worthless. And so, they're going to reject because they don't believe that they're worth anything, worth your compliment, your encouragement. And so, don't be discouraged by that. If they don't, accept your encouragement with just, smile or thanks or whatever. Because those are the people that need the most encouragement, and so keep at it and keep loving them and reinforcing the strength that you see in them and just showing them, that God has made them with, just some beautiful things about them and gifts and talents. And the second reason is that people have been taught maybe that it's not spiritual to receive praise. You need to be humble and, not acknowledge those kind of things. But that's sad too, like Brian was saying. Just, we need to learn to receive encouragement from each other and realize that is a need, and it's okay that, we need to be encouraged. Sometimes you're the one that is, in Ephesians 4:29, the one that has a need that someone else can meet. So let them do that. So then let's move on to the next point. How can we encourage others? And this is fun. I just want to give you just some simple ways to get started in this habit of encouraging people, and it's easy. It just takes some thought. And two, there's something for every personality. Your personality, maybe you're not so good at just always verbalizing what you think about someone. Maybe it's easy for you to write it down or different things. So we're gonna talk about that. You can use your personality and your spiritual gifts to really effectively and easily to encourage people. Don't do something that's totally uncomfortable for you. Just find something that works for you. Okay, the first thing is words. And there are different ways we can use words. Let me look at 1 Samuel 23:16. And someone else could get John 16:33. These are some examples of actual verbal encouragement. Do we have 1 Samuel? 1 Samuel 23:16. Right. So Jonathan and David were friends, right? They encouraged each other. So he encouraged him, helped him find strength in the Lord, just reminding him of God's faithfulness. He didn't really say what he said, but, that's huge. Just when someone's going through a hard time, people are trying to kill him, like your friend or something, he's just, encouraging them, that God's in charge or whatever. Just, you can trust him. So, encouraging people in the Lord. And then, does someone have John 16:33? And that's just Jesus encouraging his disciples. And he does this so many times. There's so many examples in the Gospels of Jesus just giving his disciples hope. So you can do it verbally, just telling somebody something. Another thing with words you can do is write them a letter or a card or just a quick note, just on their marker board even, like on their door in the dorms, one thing, you could just have a little note card, just one or two sentences. Just, I love you because this. Something short and simple but meaningful, and it can take, maybe 2 minutes out of your day to do that. Another way you can use your words is to praise someone in front of other people. You know, be like, "Do you see what someone did? That was so great." You know, I mean, just encouraging them by, you know, praising them to others. And so, there are some ways to use words. Another thing you can do for people is just pray for them. You know, just prayers, encouraging. Like Brian, you know, so many of his little encouragement notes was just, "I'm praying for you," or "I prayed this for you today." And so pray for him. You can either tell him you prayed for him or write him a little note like he has. Just pray for him. Or even if you never tell him, you know, God can work in your life. Next thing is appreciation. Just thank people for what they do. You know, like, thanks for serving. Especially people who serve behind the scenes. You know, like, there's a lot of people doing a lot of stuff this week that you probably never see. But, like, look for those people. Notice them. You know, say thanks for this, you know, thanks for leading music, you know, thanks for doing the PowerPoint for the music, or whatever it is, and just, too, like, this is one of the best things we can do. Like, Hebrews 10:24 talks about how to, you know, consider how you can spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And a lot of times, you know, like, some people, they may not even know they're doing a good job. Like, maybe your Bible study leader, like, no one's ever told her that she does a good job, and so she's thinking, "I'm a failure, I'm never going to lead another Bible study again," you know. But maybe she's great at it. And so a lot of times people need our encouragement just to know, to be able to discover and develop their spiritual gifts and their strengths and how they're going to minister for the rest of their life. And so don't be afraid just to, you know, just come in and encourage people on things like that and thank them for what they do. And the next thing is gifts. And this is just, you know, something that, you know, you know your friends, you know, likes a certain thing, or something reminds you of them, or, I mean, maybe it's like this postcard that you see that they love, or, I mean, it's just small things, but just that are thoughtful, that show that you're thinking of them, and that you know them. And too, like, a lot of this has to do with love languages, if you've ever heard of those. Like, there's some people, it's like gifts, or, you know, acts of service, or words of encouragement, things like that. So just knowing that person, and knowing how to best encourage them and love them. And the last thing is a secret ministry. Matthew 6:3-4 talks about that. Someone could read that for us. Giving, and, you know, when you give to the church or to the poor, do it in secret so that God can reward you. And I think this is a lot to say. Like, in this book, it talks about silver boxes, and, like, every word of encouragement or everything you do for someone to encourage them is like a little silver box that you're giving them. And so she talks about giving out these silver boxes without any recognition, like as little secret boxes. And so there's a story in here about one woman who has this ministry to the teens in her church. What she does is she works with the high school pastor to write to various kids in the youth department who are hurting, who are friendless, who don't realize that God loves them. "I am a secret angel. My identity is truly secret, and I've written hundreds of letters to various teens who are falling apart. I've received many answers from them, letters addressed to the secret angel in love with the youth pastor, and I feel that God has truly blessed this work. I tell them that they're loved and give them some scripture related to what's troubling them, and then pray for them. And remind them that God has wonderful plans for their lives and will always be with them. I close with assurances that they are very special and I love them." And, I mean, it's just, you know, she's blessing these kids who probably, they would never open up to an adult, you know, probably about really what's going on in their life. But she's able to encourage them, and they don't even know who she is. I mean, you can do that. Like, maybe you're shy and you don't want people to know who you are, or maybe you are afraid of rejection or things like that. Like, start with something like that. It's just like a secret encouragement to people, and just, you know, bless them, and they don't have to know who you are. You know, God will reward that. So, that's one idea too. There's just so many other ways too. Like with strangers, I mean, just or people you don't really know that well, just smiling at them, or, you know, not just saying hi. You know, like your cashier, just acknowledge that she's a person. You know, your waitress. I mean, that's huge. Just that, you know, people would acknowledge you. You know, just including people in conversations, or there's just so many different things to encourage people and just show them that you value them and their presence and their friendship. And so, okay. So then, too, like, I want to talk about this a little bit. Just, so your personality, there's going to be things that are easier for you to do in encouraging people, but also as you consider how to encourage people, you need to consider what their personality is, because different personalities receive encouragement better, like the way that they're wired. And there's four different personality types. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but like the sanguine person, they're the outgoing person, like life of the party, they love to talk. And so these people, like, they want you to praise the things that they do to draw attention to themselves, because they love attention. And so, like, maybe, you know, they're wearing, like, a bright colored shirt or something, you don't know, like, just, they like to be praised for their appearance, or, like, the things they do to get noticed, their sense of humor, you know, laugh at their jokes, things like that. And also, like, the main thing, I think, too, is just encouraging them in public, you know? Or if you tear them down in public, like, that's huge. That's huge. Like, none of that. You know, like, that's where they are. Like, that's what they love, is just being, you know, like, their attention. So if you can praise them in front of people, they love it. So do that. Melancholy people, these are, like, the quiet, kind of just thoughtful people. A lot of times they're, like, perfectionists or, you know, they're more, like, deeper. And they want to be praised for, like, their inner virtues, integrity, and different spiritual values. And so, you know, they're not going to appreciate it. I mean, you know, maybe they'd like it if you told them their hair was nice, but they'd rather you really tell them something deep about themselves. And the next one is the phlegmatic person. And these are the people that, this is like the peaceful person. They're just kind of laid back, easygoing, just kind of there. I'm phlegmatic. So, and these people, a lot of times, like, they're easy to encourage, I think. Because they just want you to just appreciate their presence. And just that, you know, include them in conversations that they're not just going to push their way into. You know, value their opinion. A lot of times these people aren't just going to tell you what they think. You need to ask them, and that's going to encourage them that you care about their opinion. You know, just thank them for sitting next to you, or, you know, whatever. Just things like that. The choleric person is a person that, you know, they're the leader. They like to be in charge, and they like to do things and get things done. And so that, the way you can encourage them is just, you know, by praising, you know, just being like, wow, you got so much accomplished today. You know, that's really, I really admire that, or, you know, I admire your problem-solving skills, or just things like that, that, or, like, their loyalty, they're really loyal, or their leadership skills, you know, praise that about them. So, I mean, just think about, kind of, you know, the people's different personalities, and what maybe they'd like to hear, and a lot of times it has to do with their strengths, just as you know them, you're encouraging them about their strengths in their life, like, that's what these are going to be. So, just showing them that you appreciate those things about them. So, the next thing we're going to talk about is, who should we encourage? What are some ideas they all have? Who are people you can encourage? Everybody, yeah. Like Brian said, like, everybody you run into, it's divine, it's a divine appointment. You need to look at them and think, how can I build this person up? Like, specifically, like, who are people in your life that you should encourage? Yeah, it's harder to encourage, like, deeply somebody that you haven't met, maybe. I mean, like, you know, you're thinking about, like, just your cashier or the waitress or, you know, someone like that. But just smiling at them, or, I mean, you can brighten their day a little bit. But, yeah, like, who are some people that you probably have better relationships with that you should be encouraging? Your parents? Yeah, like, why would your parents be encouraging? Yeah, that's great. So, I mean, your parents, as well as, like, other parents you see, I mean, you know, moms with little kids, like, that's a hard time, especially if there's multiple children that she's trying to raise and love, and it's such an important job, too. What about your own parents? What are some things you could encourage them with? Yeah, listening for advice, asking for their advice, that's huge. Just kind of showing that you do know that they probably know more than you, because they've been there, and yeah. So ask their advice on your major, on, you know, just, like, what kind of car you should buy, or, like, Brian and I still ask our parents, you know, what, just about advice on all kinds of things, but, yeah, that really shows that you respect them. What else could you tell your parents? Yeah, that's huge. I mean, just because they have. They sacrificed so much for you. And just that you know that and that you thank them for that, I mean, that can, yeah. I think that almost makes, I mean, that just makes it worth it. I mean, it's worth it anyway for them, but yeah, that would just really bless them. Just to thank them. You know, just thank them for providing for you. Thank them for encouraging you in, you know, school or whatever, you know, in your different activities. You know, for driving you around when you, you know, all your baseball practices and stuff like that. Or thank you for thanking them for raising you to fear the Lord. I mean, just, there's so many things. You could just write for hours, probably, just thanking them for all the things they've done for you. If you just think about it. So who else, like, okay, if you're talking about family, like, who else in your family could you encourage? Siblings? Mm-hmm. Yeah, how many of you have, like, a little brother or sister, especially? Yeah, like, my little sister, I don't know, like, she, like, they just look up to you so much. In your words, negative or positive, like, they're going to have a huge effect on those little brothers or sisters. And it is, it's easy to be mean to them, you know, like, it's probably, like, it's, your family is probably the easiest to discourage, you know? Because they're just there all the time, and they see you when you're ugly and you're nice. But, you know, just, especially now that you're in college and stuff, just, you know, taking the time to write your little sister or little brother a note, you know, a letter. You know, call them, ask them how they're doing, ask them about their life, you know? So, that can be huge, just encouraging them to stay on the right path and to follow the Lord, you know, and not, you know, maybe when their friends are doing stuff that they shouldn't be doing, you know, just to know that somebody they look up to is encouraging them to do what's right. So, let's see. Also, like, you know, your grandparents, they probably have done a lot for you too, or just, you know, they love to hear from you. Send them a note encouraging them in something. Maybe at Christmas, like, our relationship would even be that much better, you know, when I see them, like, we'd have something to talk about, or, you know, it'd be, you know, just so there's little things you can do to even help with those relationships. And like, half my family isn't, they aren't Christians, and so, like, that side, like, that would be huge, just to do that, just to show them, because they're not very encouraging, like, we like to cut on each other, and it's not good. So, you know, if I would take the time to be encouraging once a year, and then saw them at Christmas, like, you know, I could change, just, they'd be willing to listen to me, and they know that I love them, and they'd be willing, more willing to listen to what I believe, and, you know, why my relationship with God is different than how, you know, what they believe about God. So, you know, it's just huge opportunities with your family. Who else can we encourage? So much. It has to be, yeah. Because so often we're just like, okay, bye, you know? But right, like, just taking that opportunity to even try to share the gospel with them, or, you know, just because, you know, they called you, why not? So, yeah, and, you know, maybe they'd hang up on you, I don't know. So, but just taking the time, just, you know, or just even asking them, so how's your day going, you know, whatever, just trying to see them as a, and that's the thing too, like, just acknowledging that they are a real person, not just someone who's paid to annoy you, you know, so, but they're a real person with feelings and all that. So who else could we encourage? Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, people on your hall, like, people that are maybe your friends, people you don't even know that well, like, what are some ways you encourage people on your hall? Okay, so we can encourage, yeah, just people that we live around, like our neighbors, and also, you know, your friends. Those are probably the easiest people to encourage, are your friends. You also want to encourage the people, like, your spiritual leaders, like people who are discipling you, or like how Ryan's example of how Landon wrote him that encouraging note. And two, you want to encourage your disciples. You know, obviously Brian has encouraged Landon in some way, for him to encourage him like that. So, you know, just, and also, again, our pastors or different, you know, teachers and people in our lives. Other people we can encourage are, like, our professors or even teachers from high school, maybe, that made a difference in your life. You never think. You know, just encouraging them. Also, too, it's really important just to learn how to encourage, you know, your spouse when you get married. Just, you know, knowing how to encourage them. And knowing, because you're going to know how to discourage them as well, like, what buttons to push and things like that, but really choosing to not do that and to encourage them and overlook the things that you could discourage them about. and also your children later in life. This is a good story in here about this little girl who, she was always real loud, and, you know, she was just real outgoing and loud and running around. And, I mean, her mom would always just be like, sit down, be quiet, you know, like, she was real negative and just, you know, you're annoying people, you know, just, she was real mean about how she, you know, tried to get her to settle down. And it really kind of, you know, hurt that child. Whereas, another mother was more, she would try to get her kid to settle down, of course, too, and behave, but she was more encouraging, you know, like, someday you're going to really be a great leader. And, you know, she tried to encourage her strengths as well. So, you know, it's just the attitude you have towards, you know, your children and towards just everybody as far as how you're going to respond to their behavior and how you're going to encourage them, even in things that might seem negative at the time. So those, you know, like she said, you can encourage everybody. There's not a single person that you run into that you can't encourage. And like Brian was talking about with the building others up, like John Crawford says, too, like when he walks in a room, he kind of just sees everybody as little buildings. They're not finished yet, and so, you know, you can put a brick on, or you can knock a brick off, you know, like it's up to you what you're going to do with this little building that's before you. So those are just some ways to encourage people, and then, you know, just who, so.
So we wanted you to take just a little bit of time, we got a couple minutes left, and think about who you're going to encourage today, how you're going to encourage it, because remember, it's got to be something you pursue, it's got to be something you make every effort to, and so take some time, jot a name down, jot something down that you're going to do for them, some way you're going to encourage them, maybe you're going to plan some time, set 5 minutes aside to write a note to somebody, so take a couple minutes just to think about that. Now we want you to do this week, okay? Something now, maybe even today. So on your way out, grab somebody and say, hey, this is what I'm going to do. Or, I mean, if you don't want to say, hey, this is the person, you can just say, hey, I'm going to talk to this person and hold each other accountable to what you're going to do. Does that make sense? Grab somebody to keep you accountable to that you're going to do today or tomorrow. That other person can tell you what they're going to do, so you can ask each other tomorrow, hey, did you do it yet? Why not? Do it now. Just remember, it's hard to live, and I don't think you can live a life of encouragement when we're not devoted to Christ, when we don't have the Spirit flowing through us, when everything's dying right here. So just remember, man, spend time with God. That can be one of the most encouraging things I can do for Jennifer, is to be a godly husband. Okay? I don't even have to do much. I do. But one of the best things I can do is spend time every day in the Word. That's one of the most encouraging things you can do for your roommate, is for them to see you every day on your knees in prayer, for them to see you every day digging into God's Word, and for them to think, man, I can do that too. And that's encouraging, okay? And that's what we're going for, how we can build each other up. And that's totally building each other up. So let me pray real quick. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for what you've done for us. God, how you've loved us. God, how you've put people in our lives to encourage us and to build us up. God, I pray that we wouldn't just soak all that in, but God, that we would be blessings to others. God, that you would use us to build others up. God, that your church would be built up just through us. God, and that people would be added daily just because of the encouragement we pass on to our brothers and sisters in Christ, even to non-believers, the encouragement we give there, that they would be drawn to our faith, and they would be drawn to you just through our lives. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.